Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. I hope you guys enjoyed your holiday week or weekend if you took off any time over the 4th of July. But yeah, we're back at it this Monday morning and we're going to be talking a little bit of the sports drink world because there's some new surrounding Gatorade / Powerade rival you might have heard of that we've talked about on the show before, and that is Body Armor. And then we're going to do a little Nike and Uniqlo talk because I had recorded already when the news broke last week about Uniqlo's big signing of a famous, world-famous tennis player. And then we're going to do a little soccer talk, but not World Cup related. It is publicly traded soccer clubs that were in the news late last week. But I want to start with, before we get into any of that, just as a quick reminder, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com with any of those, because we always appreciate any feedback there. But I want to start now with Body Armor, because there were reports that once Keurig, the big coffee giant, is merging or buying Dr. Pepper Snapple Group for about $19 billion, and that deal is set to close today, Monday, July 9th. And there are now reports and suggestions that once this deal closes and the new combined company will then let go of their ownership stake in Body Armor, which is a sports drink. And now there's reports that Coca-Cola or another big company then might jump on this up-and-coming sports drink that's doing relatively well, especially as the beverage industry is seeing so much change. So there was a report from a Wells Fargo analyst, Bonnie Herzgo, and I'm just going to read a little bit of the quote. It's relatively simple. So it's, we think there's a decent chance that Keurig Dr. Pepper could lose Body Armor following the completion of the Dr. Pepper Keurig merger, given that we don't think Keurig Dr. Pepper management team is interested in maintaining minority stakes in any of the companies that they currently have. As such, we think there's a good chance Body Armor could seek a new partner / owner, and we think Coca-Cola could be interested in the brand given its success. And then they pointed to the company's retail sales, which over the last 52 weeks had done about $263 million, which is up 84% year over year, according to Nielsen. So that's kind of where the brand's hanging out. Now, it's still a very small company compared to Gatorade or Powerade or anything like that. But for reference, Dr. Pepper Snapple Group owns currently a 15% stake in Body Armor, and that only cost them about $26 million. So you can see that the company is, yeah, like I said, much smaller than Powerade and Gatorade at the moment, and they've had Dr. Pepper Snapple's what they call an allied brand since 2013 when they first made their initial investment in the company. And I just want to now, we've talked about this at a little bit of length on an episode a couple months back, but for anyone who didn't hear, I think it's worth remembering what Body Armor's doing and where they're going and where they're hoped to be going, because I think in 5 years they could easily, especially if, and this is some of the suggestion from what I've read, is that if Coke does end up buying them, that they would place, because Coke currently owns Powerade, they would place Body Armor kind of ahead of Powerade in terms of how they're marketing it and placing it in the hierarchy of their brands. Because as a lot of listeners might know, not even that they are paying close attention to it, but just sort of by their own drinking or grocery habits, that less and less people are drinking lots of soda these days. And so Coke has been struggling, and this new Body Armor, which is, it's they're positioning themselves as a healthier, more natural, less sodium, less artificial coloring, more natural flavors than your Gatorades and Powerades, which are, yes, green and bright blue and can taste very sugary at times, especially if you haven't had one in a while. So that's their kind of niche, their market they're going for. And now I just want to quickly run over the company a little bit. So it started in 2011. The guy who actually founded Vitamin Water and helped sell Smart Water to Coke in 2007 for $4.1 billion got this off the ground. So he has a track record of starting these drink brands and selling them to Coke. So he already has a relationship with Coke, so you could easily see this going that way. But right now the market is dominated. About 90% of it is controlled by Gatorade or Powerade, with Gatorade at about 75% of the sports drink market in the U.S., which estimates are say it's worth about $1 billion in total. So there's a lot of money to be made in this sports drink market. And the company itself, Body Armor, so they did $235 million in sales. It was 65, actually, yeah, over the last 52 weeks. They hope going forward next year to do about $400 million, so growing slowly. But if they get bought by Coke and get pushed out there more than Powerade, you could see this easily growing into a much bigger company. And then quickly, so some of their basic approach is right now they're trying to just say we are the new age Gatorade. Gatorade's old. It's been around since the 60s. Nothing's changed. They've signed kind of the younger crop of athletes. Kobe Bryant is actually a really big investor, and he's even writing the company's commercials and marketing pitch, which I think is very interesting and something that a lot of people will pay attention to, because he is widely popular, and he's widely popular in China and in Asia, which is a huge potential market for these drinks going forward, since the U.S. market is a little bit saturated. But now that I mentioned Kobe and what he's doing with Body Armor and a little bit of that, I want to transition to another pretty world famous Nike athlete. But now he is a former Nike athlete, and that is the Swiss tennis star Roger Federer. Wimbledon's going on right now, if you've seen any of the coverage on ESPN. But it was a relatively big deal. There was some speculation over the last couple weeks that his Nike contract was up. He's been with Nike since the 90s, that he might move on from the biggest sportswear company in the world. And he has. Japanese fast fashion. Fast fashion just kind of meaning cheap, quick clothes. You don't keep them for a long time. H&M, those kind of places are fast fashion. Uniqlo, they signed him to, and this is really staggering, to a 10-year, $300 million contract. So $30 million a year for a guy who's about to turn 37 as a tennis player. So there was, I mean, I remember watching this 10 years ago. It was one of the best tennis matches ever. Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer, Wimbledon men's final, five sets. And that was 10 years ago. People were kind of talking like, oh, Roger's, tennis players are their best at 28 and blah, blah, blah. And this is now a decade later, and he's number one ranked player at Wimbledon. He's playing right now this morning as I speak. He was up two sets to nothing the last time I looked. But yeah, so still a 37-year-old tennis player a company is spending $300 million on. And they're not a sportswear company. So it's really interesting they decided to do that. It's way bigger than his last Nike contract. And for those of you who don't know, Uniqlo is owned by a publicly traded company. Fast Retailing, that's FRCOY, and they own a couple other brands, including J Brand in Theory, which are a little bit more higher end than Uniqlo, and they brought in about $17 billion in revenue last year, most of which came from Uniqlo. But this push to sign Federer is part of the founder and CEO's. He's trying to make more of a jump in the U.S. market. This is going to try to help there. And the goal is just to get more of a face. The plan is that they see Roger Federer being someone like Peyton Manning or Michael Jordan, where after, even after he's done playing, that he'll be able to be a part of this company for a long time going forward and help it become more relevant in the American market as a brand and not just as a fast fashion where people might not even know where you bought that item. If you follow tennis, you know that Novak Djokovic, who had been dominating the world kind of after Federer, while Federer wasn't playing that well, now Federer's back to dominating and Novak has fallen off a little bit, but he used to be sponsored by Uniqlo and he was by far their biggest athlete. He's no longer sponsored by them anymore. So at this point, they have Kai Nishikori, which is who is a Japanese tennis player, and then Adam Scott, golfer. He won the Masters in like 2013, maybe. Big name, hasn't been in the spotlight that much over the last couple of years. So landing Federer, this is by he's tennis isn't widely popular in the United States anymore. But for reference, and this is a list that I've used kind of as my Bible for how famous people are throughout the world in terms of athletics, ESPN's World Fame 100 list. They exhaust over this list, data heavy. Roger Federer is number five, the fifth most famous athlete in the world. It's Cristiano Ronaldo at one, LeBron James at two, Messi three, Neymar four, Roger Federer five. Right behind, right in front of Tiger Woods and Kevin Durant. So for people who think like, oh, who's Roger Federer? That's supposedly where he's living right now, is the fifth most famous athlete on the planet behind LeBron James and then three huge famous soccer players. So it's a big deal. It comes at an interesting time for Nike. They clearly didn't see it was worth paying Roger Federer $300 million or whatever to match the Uniqlo deal. And they also are coming off a really strong fourth quarter where their North American sales returned up 3% after three straight quarters of declining sales. So it comes at a fine time for Nike to deal with because they're a way bigger company. They won't miss Roger Federer, even though Uniqlo has to buy the like Roger Federer's logo that's all on all of his Nike clothes, and they have to ask Roger Federer about it at Wimbledon, saying that he hopes Nike and Uniqlo can work out a deal for his little registered, it's like the Tiger Woods logo or whatever, but Nike owns it. So we'll see where that goes. But it definitely just shows that there's a lot of turnover and there's a lot more competition in this sportswear market. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that you have Puma coming back into the basketball scene in the United States. There's still more pressure on Nike from Adidas, less so from Under Armour, but you even have the Lululemons of the world and just this athleisure brand. And now you have Uniqlo, who is a fast fashion company who doesn't even make tennis shoes, sponsoring Roger Federer. So they're kind of they're an athleisure brand who's now trying to become more sports focused or known for sports. And it just really, it shows that this is certainly a market to watch out for. And I think it's really interesting to see what's going on there, especially going forward. And then I want to close with, it's kind of, this is fun for me because I'm a big sports fan. And I think a lot of people don't even know necessarily that there are publicly traded sports teams, where you think investing in sports is you'd have to do it through a brand. But late last week, Thursday and Friday, shares of Juventus, it's a Italian soccer team located in Turin, northwestern Italy, pretty massively popular team around the world. Their shares, so they're publicly traded, it's JVTSF. Their shares skyrocketed like 25% over a two-day period. It's still insanely cheap stock, but it moved their valuation up to about over $1 billion. And it was all based on rumors that the team would sign Cristiano Ronaldo from Real Madrid, who is the Portuguese star out of the World Cup already. But it was just funny to think that a stock is skyrocketing because there was rumors in all these Italian newspapers and Spanish newspapers that the most famous soccer player in the world, one of the most famous people in the world, is going to maybe go to this team. And people are just like, buy, because unlike some other companies, I guess you could say, the team says that their stock performance is strongly influenced by like retail sales and the results on the field. So that would be obviously influenced by one of the best players in the world coming to your team. But since then, the Italian, the governing body who runs the Italian stock exchange told Juventus they had to issue a statement about what's going on, because there was reports that it was official, and then it's still, as of Monday morning when we're recording this, at about 9 a.m. Central Time, it was still completely unofficial. Most places are saying now he's going back to Real Madrid, but it's just funny that for American sports fans, if like the Dallas Cowboys were publicly traded and there was rumors that someone was going to be traded there, that the New York Stock Exchange has to call Jerry Jones and say, you have to say this guy is not actually on your team yet, because you're making all of this money based on pure speculation that someone might be coming to your club. And it's also very funny because it's about 9 years to the date that Cristiano Ronaldo actually left another publicly traded soccer team. Two world famous soccer teams publicly traded. That's Manchester United, and they are publicly traded under MANU. So Man U, for any listeners who want to maybe invest in the most Manchester United, still the most valuable franchise in the world, according to Forbes and some other places. So I just thought that was an interesting way to end the episode, a fun way to start your Mondays, a little publicly traded soccer team news. And then a little tidbit for how this works. So the idea is that Juventus would have to pay Cristiano Ronaldo's buyout clause, which is 100 million euros, just to get him to come to the team. And then they still have to pay his yearly salary. So for reference, last summer, PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, a big soccer club in Paris, paid $265 million just to get the rights to have someone come to their team. So $250 million to pay someone to come play for their team and then still have to pay them their $54 million a year salary, which is just insane. But that's nothing to these clubs. I thought that's fun and a little tidbit for all the people complaining about these NBA salaries this summer, when you're looking at all the news from LeBron and all these guys making $154 million over 4 years that a team... Imagine if the Lakers had to pay the Cavaliers $250 million to just get LeBron to come and then still have to pay him. But I could drag on about that for way too long. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zex. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zex.com.